Good morning. It's great to see all of you out today. Do we have anybody visiting with us this morning? If you are, would you please stand so we can recognize you? Amen. So glad to have you with us this morning. This morning, in Sunday school and throughout this month, we're talking about the mission of the church. Everybody that has a bulletin, get your bulletins out. Look on the back of the bulletin. On the back of the bulletin. And you see on here, we, the St. Paul Baptists of Shively Heights, will. And see all the things there? Do you know what Deuteronomy 31:12 says? I'm going to read it to you. This is the NLT. Call them all together, men, women, children, and the foreigners living in your towns, so they may hear this book of instruction and learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully obey all the terms of these instructions. And you see that on the back of that? This is what our church does. We gather the people together, you know, for the Lord, the people for learning, get the people to listen, give the people the lesson, and guide the people in living. The mission of a church is to win others to Jesus and fellowship, that we can encourage one another. It's a great lesson. Y'all get in Sunday school this month. It's talking about the mission of the church. Okay. Wednesday night, November the 7th, is a business meeting, so we put that on your calendar. Discipleship training, Walking Worthy of Our Christian Calling, Wednesday nights at 6:30. Don't forget about that. Basketball ministry, spread the word. There is a co-ed youth basketball and cheer league, ages 4 through 17. So if you're interested in that, contact Reverend John Crittenden. Okay. Okay, and pray for one another. Pray for us as we pray for each other as we do the Lord's Supper. You know, let's ask God to help us as we do that. Search our hearts. Pray for Brother Brockington as he preaches today. Pray for our pastor as he's away. Give him strength and continued health and continued rest. And Mildred has an announcement. Our annual fall festival was phenomenal. It was heartwarming to see our church reaching out to the community, extending God's love. There was plenty of candy, food, fun, and fellowship. I saw people laughing, children in costumes playing games, people sampling chili, teams serving food, some hosting craft tables, face painting, and a host of other activities. We even had cotton candy. Please join me in thanking Daniel Boone, who provides leadership for this vital young adult ministry. What a delight to see people of all ages laboring together for God to have fun. Our young adults recruited volunteers, made appeals, planned, and executed this awesome event. Please take the time to let them know how much you appreciate their hard work, Pastor Bingham. Let's show them how much we appreciate it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm standing on behalf of our seasoned saints here at St. Paul at Shively Heights. We will be collecting non-perishable food for Thanksgiving and Christmas boxes. Now, there is a basket back in the foyer by the usher's desk that you can put it in. If you bring it and you want to give it at the coffee stand, Miss Barbara will take it. If you wish to give a monetary gift, you may see Sue Eckridge or either Darlene Fletcher. They'd be glad to handle that for you. And to piggyback on Pastor Bingham's pastor graph, if you did not come and would like to see the fun that was done on that festivity day, you may look at the bulletin board. There are pictures out there for you to see.
Good morning, church. It seems that every time that Pastor asks me to give the call to worship, he's never here. So, but that's all right. I think he purposely sets me up, and that way he's absent, so he doesn't have to be the fall guy for asking me to do this. But I'm glad Linda talked about what was on the back of the program, because it kind of ties into what I'm about to tell you. And what I'm going to discuss with you this morning is about tribute bands. Now, for those of you that don't know what tribute bands are, they are a band or individual, a group who imitates another individual or group in an effort to keep the memory alive of the body of work that the person or group that they're imitating. They put a lot of time and effort into their craft. They study the person or the group that they're imitating. They get their mannerisms on stage. They try to sound like them and act like them. And the disciples of Jesus Christ was put together, and I'm sure they were the actual first tribute band. They individually traveled from town to town displaying the words and works of Jesus Christ. He commissioned this first tribute band by telling them to go and share the good news. And that's what these tribute bands do. They go from town to town giving the news about the group or individual that they are representing. And we as Christians are also a tribute band. We gather here every Wednesday night at 6:30, every Sunday morning at 9:30, and then 10:45. So we study and learn more and more about the body of work of Jesus Christ. So when we leave the services, hopefully we go about our travels imitating Jesus and the works that he instilled in us. And don't worry that you can't carry a tune, because as Pastor has said many times, he can't carry a tune in a bucket. But we don't need you to do that. All we need you to do is carry the good word of Jesus Christ. Spread the good news. So you see, all we need to do as Christians is carry the truth about Jesus Christ and share it with others. As a reminder, this tribute band, again, we meet every Wednesday night at 6:30. Again, Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 10:45. So I invite you to come back and start this weekend. Join this tribute band. Thank y'all.
Good time. Good morning. The scripture today comes from Acts 27, verses 13 to 31, out of the King James Version. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught, and they could not bear up into the wind, they let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Which when they had taken up, they used helps, ungirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And the wind, neither sun nor stars, and many days appeared, and no shall tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and have not loosed from Crete, and too have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee among all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as if it were told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.
Oh, Good morning, St. Paul at Shively Heights. It's prayer time. And for those who would like to come to the altar, now is the time. You know, the devil is a tricky fellow. Last couple of weeks, just for example, all the hatred and killings and craziness and putting obstacles in people's way, trying to get people to give up hope. But I'm here to tell you today, the devil's a lie. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's again that we're thankful and grateful for this opportunity. Lord, we love you today. We adore you, Lord. Father, thank you for bringing each and every one out today safely. We thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you because you walk with us every day. And you're with us every moment. We thank you that your promises are true and your goodness never fails us. In this moment, we come before you, Heavenly Father, with praise and worship. We want to surrender our lives to you, Heavenly Father, and we want your Holy Spirit to be in this place today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our strength. Thank you for being a stronghold, a fortress. We thank you for your guidance, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, sometimes we try to do things ourselves, but we need you to let us know that we need to stop and listen to your directions. Heavenly Father, we ask for forgiveness of our sins because we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. But again, we thank you for your grace because you give us what we don't deserve. And we thank you for your mercy because you don't give us what we do deserve. Heavenly Father, as we think about the ones who are not here today, we ask that for the sick and the shut-in, Heavenly Father, that you bless them with healing. For those who are traveling on the road, we ask for traveling grace. And for the bereaved, Heavenly Father, we ask for comfort. Father, we ask that you bless the one that's going to break the bread of life today. Heavenly Father, empty him of himself. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Tell him what to tell us, Heavenly Father. Let him tell us an uncompromised gospel. And Heavenly Father, open our minds and our hearts so that we can receive your word. Heavenly Father, give us the strength to receive your word and to do your will so that we can go out in this dark world and tell men, women, and boys and girls what they must do to be saved, to let them know that there's a hell to shun and a great God in heaven to glorify. Father, we ask that you dwell in each and every one of us. Equip us, strengthen us, and that your will be done. We ask all these things in your darling son, Jesus. We do pray. Amen.
As the deacons, would you come as we share Lord's Supper service? There's two ordinances of the church. There's Lord's Supper and baptism. We don't do it out of form or fashion, but we do it because the Bible says, do this in remembrance of me. Reverend Esther is going to bless the bread and then going to bless the juice.
Let us pray. Our Father God, we come now, Lord, to say thank you for this solemn occasion. We're so grateful for this privilege that has been allowed to us to share in this special time. We ask just now, Lord, that you would bless this bread that represents your broken body on Calvary. We ask that you would bless the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was spilt on Calvary. We ask that you would change these elements from a temporal use to a spiritual use, that they may edify and sanctify our hearts and souls. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Has everyone been served? Okay. Did we get everybody? Let us eat together. Let us drink together.
All right, so last Sunday we had our youth and young adult meeting after church, and I've been asked to kind of give a little cliff note synopsis of what happened so everyone can be involved and informed. So first we started with a devotional, and that came from Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. And basically what those verses were saying is that everyone in the church has gifts. You might not know what they are, you might not know what specific ministry you belong to, but everyone has gifts, and those gifts can all be used towards God and his kingdom. So if you have questions or having some issues figuring out where you belong, that's kind of what the meeting was about. We had a 2019 challenge, so there were three S's, surrender, study, and serve. Surrender, we obviously need to surrender our will to God and use our talents for him. But we also need to study the Bible, classes, Sunday school, Wednesday night worship, whatever you can do to become more knowledgeable. Because if we're going to spread the word, we need to know what we're talking about. And then the last one was serve, which is basically find your place in the church. And then we had a questionnaire that we kind of discussed about. We hit on reasons why a lot of young people leave the church and kind of alternatives to leaving. And we stressed the importance of identifying problems within the church, but also trying to be a part of the solution. So if you see a problem in the church, don't just leave. You want to be a part of the solution, so bring it to someone who can make changes. We need to take ownership of our church and of our age group. If we're truly going to be an intergenerational church, we need to act like it. Everyone needs to be worried about everyone's generation. Everyone, even if you're not in the youth, you need to be worried about the youth, because eventually the youth is what's going to lead the church. So basically what I got from the meeting is that the church cares about how the youth feels, and they care about issues that they're bringing up. So I don't want anyone to think that we don't. If you have solutions, suggestions, anything to help with the youth, bring them to Danielle, bring them to me, Charisse, and we can relay the message. But just don't not say anything, because that's not productive. And that was pretty much it.
Thank you.
church said amen.
Amen.
Offering time. Time to give back just a little bit of what God gave us. My son, he's been doing this for years. When his kids go trick-or-treating, he's been taxing them like 5% on their candy. So he gets all the good candy, leaves them all the bad stuff. But this is for what we need to do for the Lord. He gave us what we have. He gave us life. He gave us monetary things, and we just need to pay him back for what he's asked us to do. Immediately 10%. 10% won't kill anyone. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to worship you and enter monetary donations. Lord, we just pray that you will bless the ones that have and the ones that have not, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you use this as a way to keep our church going and to uplift your kingdom. For it's in your son's precious name I pray. Amen.
praise him this morning. Amen. All right. Amen. First of all, I want to thank God for the opportunity to be able to come out this morning, and thank Reverend Bingham for that opportunity. Because, you know, I truly thank God for my pastor. I need to say this because, you know, when my pastor called me, I said, you know, I said, you want me, you know, like that. And, you know, I thank God for a man of God, being a man of God that's led by God. Because, you know, Reverend Bingham always has a way of telling you. He knows exactly what it is that he wants. Amen. And so, you know, I'm saying that to say, you know, are you sure you want me? And yes, you know, and so I thank God for Reverend Bingham for the opportunity. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to be before you this morning. All right. I pray not to be before you too long. For as you know, my health has not been great here lately. So, but Mama always used to tell me it don't take long. You know, so I pray not to be before you too long. So, thank you, Jesus. I just want to read one scripture before I pray this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Except the abide in the ship. You cannot be saved. Father God, we thank you. And we just praise you, Lord. Lord, we just pray and ask, Lord, that you touch me, your servant, Lord. Touch, cleanse me, Lord, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, Lord. Lord, we pray and ask that you use me this day, Lord. Speak your word, Father God, unto your people, Lord. Let hearts be open, Lord, that we may receive this morning, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you, for I know it is you that is speaking unto me also, Lord, to hear and receive your word, Father God. So, Lord, we just pray that we be touched, Lord, and that we be a church, Father God, that we be able to touch others, Lord, and help this hurting community, Father God, in which we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the message today, stay on board. Stay on board. Because, you know, there's been such a wave and rash of things happening today in our society that wants to strip the hope from the Christian church. Amen? But saints of God, the Lord's given a word this morning to tell us to stay on board. You cannot be saved unless you stay on board this Christian journey. Amen? Because see, you know, it can be said in this life's journey that we just sailing along. And we just moving along in our everyday journey. But in every journey of life, you're going to face some storms. Ain't that right? You're going to face some storms. Now, whether these storms be of weather, lost jobs, divorce, broken relationships, just the grind of everyday life, you're going to face some storms. But I come by to tell you this morning, in facing those storms, I want to let you know the storm don't last forever, and it will pass by. And you need to stay on board in order to make it to the other side. Amen? So if you want to make this Christian journey, you have to stay on board. But before we get too much on talking about staying on board, there's one thing we want to stop to do before going on farther. We want to make sure everybody is on board. Amen? So we want to make sure that you have made a commitment of faith unto Christ Jesus being your Lord. You know, as we look over here, like I said, I don't plan on keeping you too long, but I'm going to tell you about the text. And the text here is about Paul. Paul was told on several different occasions that he had to go to Rome. Over in Acts, the 9th chapter, when he first was converted, he was told that he would go and preach to the Gentiles and to the kings. That is Rome, where Caesar was. He was told over in Acts also, the 23rd chapter, that he must go to Rome. He was told these things. So Paul knew he had to go to Rome. Often you and I know some things that the Lord has submitted unto us in prayer. But we don't often think about the way the Lord is going to direct or take us there. We have our own preconceived ideas and notions how we're going to get there. But our way is not the way of the Lord. Amen? And often we're not looking for to make it there by some type of storm. Amen. So, you know, as we look here, Paul and certain other prisoners are being delivered over to Rome. Now, Paul has been in prison at this time, I mind you, 2 years. 2 years Paul has been incarcerated. At this time, Paul then wrote 6 books of the New Testament. And so he's now being transferred over to Rome because he has asked to see Caesar. Now, when they talk about he's a prisoner, they wasn't just holding Paul. They was beating him to get the truth out of him. So, you know, he's just, no, stop. I want to see Caesar because he wants his story. He has no idea at this time this is the way the Lord's going to take him to Rome. Just like you and I in our lives have no idea what God has told us, this is how he's going to take us and deliver us the way he said he's going to do it. Amen. So Paul here is headed to Rome on a ship. And you know, it can be said, as I said earlier, that we are all sailing along on this Christian journey. Excuse me. And, okay, I got it. Real dry. Thank you. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The medicine I'm on makes my mouth real dry. Now, and where were we at? We were talking about Paul sailing on a ship. Now, when you go to sail, I was looking up sailing. When you sail, you have to have the wind at your back. You got to have a driving force in which to guide and direct you in the way in which you're going. And that's why I asked you, we wanted to make sure everybody was on board. Because, see, you have to have a driving force. And that force, if you're on this Christian journey, is that of yourself or is of Christ Jesus. In other words, if it's of yourself, it could be the power of the devil. But if it's of Christ Jesus, it's for sure you're going to get to where you is that you have to go. So there's just 2 ways. So now Paul was sailing along, and they said here it was the wrong time of the season to be sailing. And so Paul, as we look over in the text, said they had a purpose. Their purpose was to get to a nice accommodation, to get to a nice accommodation for the winter. They wanted to be put up in a nice place for the winter. Well, let me tell you something. When you go sailing, there's 3 things you have to do. And a lot of times I looked it up because I'm not a sailor, as you know. But there's 3 things. And one of them, I know y'all say, here he comes with the peas again. But it does require planning. It does require planning. Because, see, anytime you go out to sail, you got to know the direction in which you're going. And you got to know how to be able to use the wind to push your sail. Just like this Christian journey or this Christian walk, you have to know who it is that's going to push your sail, who it is that's going to propel you, if it's going to be that of yourself or is it whether you're going to surrender your life over to God. Now, Paul has already surrendered his life over to God, so he's not worried about sailing on this ship, and he's not worried about the accommodations of the winter haven. Paul is sitting on this ship, and they're talking about supposedly they have obtained their purpose. But their purpose is, of course, in the track of which God has called them to go. See, sometimes in our life when the winds blow in and the storms come, it pushes us off course. But see, I just stopped by to tell you, Paul was trying to let them know, you guys may be off course and may be off direction, but I'm still on course and I still have the purpose in which I'm riding on this ship. So Paul is riding on the ship and they haven't planned it out. They seemingly obtained their purpose. But as they obtained their purpose, it said there arose a tempestuous wind. And this tempestuous wind is called Euclidean. Euclidean is when the north and the east winds come together. And when the two different things come together, it causes major trouble. You know, in our society and life today, we had two different ones coming together and colliding. But here I come by to tell you, you got to continue to believe in God. You've got to stay with the plan of God, no matter what, saints of God. You know, I'm saying that because, you know, excuse me, the next day as we riding on the bus, people were talking about this and talking about that and what they got to do today. But I stopped by to tell you, we got to stick with the plan of God. The salvation plan is clear. We got to hold to what the Lord has told us. And so, you know, I don't need to go get no gun. I don't need to go do this. I need to continue to trust in Jesus. And that's what Paul was doing as they were riding on his ship. He wasn't looking for no soft fair haven. He was just looking for the purpose of the plan was to get to Rome, stand before Caesar, and talk the talk, the testify of the goodness of the Lord. As you know, you might say, well, is that in, that's in the text? All right. So, you know, Paul, excuse me. So Paul here is sailing on the ship, and they done ran into a tempestuous wind. Now, they, and when they thought they had obtained a purpose, they were just riding along the coast, trying to keep from getting into deep water. Now, if you in the church and you have accepted the plan of God, and you keep on riding along the coast, sitting on the pew, just hoping to take it easy, you got to watch out because a tempestuous wind will come and pull you out into the middle of the sea. And that's what happened to the ship. As they were riding along and sailing, they got caught in that tempestuous wind, and it pulled them out into the middle of the sea. Now, I want to tell you, according to the map, they were over 50 miles off course, going in the wrong direction. But when the Lord has set forth that which he has said, it's going to come to pass. So when they were in the midst of this storm, they began to lose hope. You know, have you looked around and talked to people in our community today about the storms of which we are facing or in? They all begin to talk of a lack of hope. And that lack of hope is not so much the far as not being a Christian, but see, sometimes we'll begin to compromise the things of Christianity. You know, taking on things of our own self instead of believing, thus said the Lord. See, so Paul was, I know I told you I don't want to be long, and I'm not, so And I'm not rushing it, but I'm trying to keep it to the point. And as I said, the first point of selling is planning. And then as we look here, as they out in the middle of the sea, it said here that they had much work to come by at the boat. They had to work together. When you selling, you got to work together. Have you ever seen them do the U.S. Cup? And those guys are, you know, they rolling that thing, and the other crew, they running and pulling the lead sail, and the others up there pushing up the main sail, and you got the one guy in the back holding the rudder. All that's working together, just like the youth stood up today and was telling us how we all have to work together, the young and the old, to make the church right. Well, they telling them right here that they had much work to come by the boat. We have much work to come by the church of God today. We have a lot of things to do about the church today. So the second part is, what is it? I said there's some peas in here. You got to participate. You got to participate. You can't be in the church and not participate. So if you're on the boat, because see, I told you, the wind is what pushes a sail. It's what drives it. It's the force in which they were able to travel back then by sailing. So you couldn't have nobody just sitting around on the boat doing nothing. Huh? What are you saying? I'm saying everybody in the church got to be on board and got to have their hands on the equipment of God for the ship to sail. Amen? Amen. So we got to participate. Because see, you know, it's not just by faith. We have to put forth some action. There has to be some work in that here today. There has to be some action. So everybody has to participate. And you know, there's something else also here today. Paul had been down below throughout all this. They doing all this work. They done planned out the way in which to go. And a lot of times we can plan out the way in which to go and it don't work. And we can put forth all the work together and it's still not working out. Because it said they were in the boat and it seemed like 14 long days and 14 long nights. And you can put all that together, your planning, your participation of working together. And you can begin to ask the Lord, it still ain't working out in my life as I'm selling this life's journey. You got to begin to pray unto God. See, Paul was down below praying. Paul was at work also. Because see, sometimes in the church, you may not find your fit. Sometimes your fit might be in the back room praying that the pastor's all right. The pastor and his wife's okay, that the choir gonna do this. Sometimes you got to be back there praying for them and praying for this and praying that everything work out. See, so not only do you got to plan, not only do you got to participate, you got to be in prayer. Let's look at what it said. You know, here, it said, but at the long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sir, should you have hearkened unto me. Now, that seems a little sarcastic, doesn't it? Well, Paul is establishing the fact he's a man of God, and he wants them to know, unless you listen unto the Lord, everything's going to be lost. Now, I told you, is what he was saying, before we left, that this thing would be with some harm, that the ship would be wrecked, and supposedly some lives lost. But he changed the tune right here. He said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, who I am and who I'm serving, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them to sail with thee. Now, what are you saying? You done planned, you done participated, and you done prayed. I'm saying you got to stay on board and keep your eyes on the prize. In order for you to make it home, you've got to keep your eyes on the prize, which is Christ Jesus. You got to stay firm in the word of God, believing that this is the way to make it. I'm not trying to tell you anything. This is just a simple message, trying to tell you and I that we got to stay on board and keep our eyes on the prize when we're sailing this morning. I don't have much to tell you other than keep your eyes on the prize and stay on board. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Brockington. Keep your eyes on the prize. Amen. We're going to ask, it's invitation time. We're going to ask that our counselors come forth. Our counselors, would you come forth, please? Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be singing Come to Jesus. It's not on the screen. And you just listen up. I'm going to give you the verses as we go along. And if we need to repeat something, whether it's three times, two times, or one time, watch my fingers. Come to Jesus whenever you're ready.
Go ahead. How many of you know that you can come to Jesus? You can come right now. The Sunday school this morning really touched home. And it was talking about saving the world, saving the lost. There are many lost people that don't know the Lord. And that's our mission. But as we sing in that song, Come to Jesus, I'm going to ask that come to Jesus right now and repent of your sins. And when you come and accept him as Lord and Savior of your life and you're baptized, you're forgiven. And then as you come into the fold, we can take you and we can disciple you and work with you and help you. So is there one right now who will come to Jesus who just needs someone to talk to or someone to give your life to? Come right now, anyone, come to Jesus. Sung, come to Jesus. Come to him. You can trust him. He will lead you. He would guide you. He will help you through the storms of life. Once again, is there one who would like to come to Jesus at this time? If not, going to ask that our counselors can be seated and everyone can be seated. Amen. Just want to thank Brother Brockington for that message. Stay on board. And also, I would like to thank the choir and all those who participated today, and the young people, young adults. Just keep up what you're doing. And you may get distracted, but remember, Brockton said, keep your eyes on the prize, and you're going to make it. Amen. Amen. Be with our pastor. Our pastor is away today preaching. Be with him. Pray for his safe travel. And is there anyone else that we need to be praying for? Is there anyone else we need to be praying for? Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes. Darlene, amen. Johnny, will you come give us our benediction, give us our closing prayer? Oh, excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see, sir. Amen, amen. Certainly, Lord will answer prayer. Anyone else? Like to say, don't boo folk. Now, let's drop the mic.
Let the church say, hey.
Commit to church, save it. Let the church save it. Everybody say, amen, amen. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with the love of God, in communion with the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us henceforth and now forevermore. And all the church said, amen. Thank you, sir.